In that context, does black artist mean literally black artist? Or to some Americans, does it mean also representing on behalf of civil rights or related issues or political hip hop?
Political Hip Hop is a listener-supported podcast. We appreciate all monthly donations. Follow the donation link on your streaming platform to donate. All books written by me, available on Amazon.com, or DM me at Tyrone Motif for your autographed copy.
Welcome, welcome, people. This is Political Hip Hop, American politics and the hip hop culture. I am your host, Tyrone Motif.
Peace, peace, what's goody? I'm yours truly, Tyrone Motif. This is that channel on YouTube. Please subscribe, hit the notification bell, drop a comment below, and please give this video a thumbs up. They said it helped the algorithms.
Peace, peace, people. Welcome back. You already know, back at it with another one. I got my homegirl, Billboard J, with me, and we just having great conversation. We kicking it, goddammit. We on our freestyle improv shit. Let's see where it go. What's up, Miss Lady? How you doing?
I'm doing good. You know, staying black.
Staying
so
black.
So where's all the people? We can't see the people?
Nah, this is pre-recorded. This is pre-recorded. We is not live. You heard? I will throw this up later on. This is pre-recorded. Wow.
Okay, makes sense.
You ain't gonna see no chats. You ain't gonna see nothing. So actually, before I make it public on YouTube, I let you know, and we could sit back and watch it together. We could talk in the chats. You could interact with the people if they in the chats, right? Yeah, for the most part, that's what it is. I got to start doing my pre-recording because I be doing so many live videos, like they be back to back. I got to be able to space my content out, right? So that's what it is. I want to be able to pre-record 5-6 videos a day and release 1 or 2 maybe a week. So I always got content on the back end. You know, that's how you stay ahead of the game. Well, but how your day going?
It's going good. Yours?
Yeah, my day going good and all that. Right now, New York is definitely not hot. We got a nice breeze. I'm in some shade right now. Hopefully, it stay like this for a couple more hours.
Nah, Boston is getting hot over here. It's getting very hot.
Boston is hot. What's y'all current temperature? Y'all shit probably crazy. If you could figure it out, let me see.
It's 78. It's supposed to get 86, but it's cool, which I fuck with that. Because last week, man, it was bacon, man. Niggas was getting crispy like a potato chip. Like
that heat wave, ridiculous. Right now, it's 80 degrees in New York with a high of
78
and a low of 71. So that's kind of nice. That's nice. That's all right. That's all right. Right now, it don't feel like 80 nothing right now because I'm in some shade.
That is a shade.
Yeah, I need some motherfucking shade.
Holy shit. Oh, I hear that little music in the back.
Yeah, that's some background music. Gotta vibe out, girl.
Yeah, gotta makes sense. So yeah, like, oh, look at the background. It's so cool.
Yeah,
it's nice and red. I love it.
Gotta vibe out. Yeah, that one is dope. Yeah, that one dope. I'm gonna leave that one up. Yeah, I like that one. Yeah, that's dope.
I like it a lot. You made it?
Yeah, I got a graphic designer, somebody that do my fucking logos and shit for me. Well, I got a few people, but yeah, I get them done whenever I feel like I need some new ones. Well,
as you should. But yeah, like, I don't know, like, what's the word for it? I'm not really too sure what's the word for it.
Yeah, because white privilege is when a white person is utilizing their privilege for benefit, right? To benefit them, right? So what would you call it if a black person is utilizing the white privilege of their friends? What it would you call it? I don't know, black white privilege, white black privilege, or I don't know, like what it have to be, something for it. That would be some type of terminology you can coin, because you definitely have a story to tell. You definitely were, because it's not that often you find a white family or a white couple, even a white individual, that's willing to take in a black child, a fucking minority, right? And actually do right by them, right?
Right.
So often black kids abused in the system, they're fucking ignored, they're not being taken care of. And when they do complain about abuse, the system believe the adopted family over this child, right? Like, you even got children that go through sexual abuse in these foster homes, and right, this shit is crazy. But your story is kind of like unique, because you actually you was with someone that cared about you and made sure, you know, you was all right in life. I'm saying, and fucking now you a decent fucking woman. You not out there fucking struggling on your bottom, going through hell. You know, somebody was there for you.
Right. And also too, like, you know, a lot of the abuse I hear from, you know, like, I even talked to like ex-kids that used to be in the foster care system. Like, there are like people who used to be in the foster care system who like speak and host events who are like 40 years old, 46, 50 years old, right? So like, you know, it's good to talk to them, because they really give a real deep insight on how the system was looking back in the 80s, the 90s. Okay, those are important times for the black community. So it's the 60s and 70s, et cetera, right? So right. Like, these things are very important when I go talk to them, because it's crazy, because I never lived in any of these homes they speak of, right? Because it was different for me, because I was pregnant for 9 months, jumping around from foster, after a certain point, you know, end up jumping from foster home to foster home, man. And it was like, I couldn't stay because my teachers get a new house, and then like the next person couldn't keep me for long because they're moving. So people couldn't keep me because they just had a lot of going on in their lives. And you know, this is the time during COVID and everything when it first started. So it was a long time ago. It wasn't even a long time ago, but you get the point. But yeah, like just jumping around and around, it was just a lot. I moved 7 times in 1 year.
Wow.
Like, right. Yeah, so like you actually moved around as a lot. And here's the thing, like, for example, and this is also some deep insight to why they want to control like the white people population, especially with abortion, right? Because I actually I used to live with white women who were single and didn't birth any kids of their own, right? So right. I actually lived and I seen how these women live and seen how they treat kids, you know? And this must be what the white men be talking about, right? Because they're not nurturing. They don't respect people who have kids. That's the first problem, right? So, right. And also they think that their way is the right way, even though they don't have any experience. So that's another problem. So like, I used to live with this one woman, her name was Mary, right? She had 4 kids and she adopted 3 of them. They were white. You had Nick was 12, turning 13. You have Lily, who was his little sister, 7. And then you had his little brother, Luciano, who was 1, turning 2, right? And then you had this little black girl who was 5 years old, and her name was Aaliyah. She looked Indian, but you know, Mary didn't know where she came from, which was weird, very weird. So here's the thing. It's very weird she didn't know where this little girl came from or what's her ethnicity, because it clearly states it in the paperwork when you go read the girl's file. So that's right. Just weird. These are facts. And then, like, the next point is that it's just very weird also, too, that, you know, the way this girl had mental health problems. I mean, you know, Mary was telling me that her mom, when she was pregnant, she was going through a lot of mental health problems, and her mom actually had bipolar depression, right? So if you know all this information, you see how she's acting out, why are you squeezing her face and telling her to be good? And it's not her fault. She had to go through something for 9 months in the womb and she didn't ask for it. So what you need to do is go get her assessed by a mental health professional, because this girl needs help. And at the end of the day, this girl was only listening to me because she was finally happy that she finally found people that look just like her. And I told Mary, listen, when you adopt a black child, you bring a black child into a white home, you have to understand they need to see people like them. They need to have their family near them. They need to eat like them. They need to be around them. You have to understand. You don't know what it means to be black, so you have to give her grace, because she needs to know what it means to be black, right? So when you're doing that, that's intentional, right? And because you're being ignorant, you're not getting her assessed by a mental health professional. This is how a lot of us black people who live with these white people or get adopted by these white people, we struggle with issues called colorism, right? And so that's where other black folks are like, yo, you don't sound black, you sound white, you live with those white folks, this and that, da da da, you better than us, all of this. So that's the thing. So it's kind of like, I can be as dark as night and live with white people, right? But my own people's gonna say that I'm white. And so that's the reality of it, right? Because your own people's telling you that you're not black, but then yet again, you're white. So what the fuck am I, biracial? When I'm black, hello? Like, what? Like, are you okay? Like, does that make sense? Because not you do the same shit on Clubhouse. That's that same Clubhouse rhetoric they use in real life. Like, for real. Like, this has happened to me in my experience in real life. They'll be like, well, you don't sound black. And I'd be like, why? Because I sound articulate? Because I know how to put sentences together? I know how to make clear points? You can't? You don't? Because here's the thing. When you want to hide something from a nigga, you put it in a book. And that's the point, right? Because they're so ignorant to go look at information. If I give my brother, who's 15 years old, a book, and I tell him, this is how you can make $8 million in 10 years. This is how you can actually make money for real. Read it. He ain't going to read it.
Right. Absolutely.
For real. Like, these are just facts, man.
And that's the sad part. That's the sad part about how we live life as young blacks in America, right? Some of us don't even have a fighting chance, right? We don't have that jump start in life that's allowing us to focus on childlike things, right? Focus on a education, focus on what I want to be, what's my career choice, do I want college, right? Right, like most kids in minority communities is dealing with day-to-day struggles, right? They're fucking learning about daily survival, where they're getting their next meal from, how are they washing their school clothes, right? How they're not gonna wear the same shit all fucking week, right? Fucking how is their parents gonna pay for things pertaining to school they know their parents don't have the money for? You know, shit like that, right? Like that right there can complicate a fucking child's mind, right? It can make simple things complicated. It can make simple decisions complicated. But he's faced with a hazardous lifestyle or unhealthy lifestyle that's causing him to make life or death decisions early on, and that can hinder a young mind in every way imaginable.
Literally, it can. And this is what I be saying, because like I be trying to tell all the kids, even the kids I work with, like, yo, I've seen a lot of bad things happen to a lot of people because they choose to do the wrong thing, right? Because they're in the bad environment. But here's the thing, where do we actually say that we need to hold the parents accountable for the environment, but also the child? Because I told my brother, when I was your age, I was realizing what the environment I was living in around 15 and 16 years old, right? And I told him, we come from out of the same womb. We spend in the same woman's stomach for 9 months, bro. And if I was able to pick myself up in a bad situation, why can't you? So this is where I have to hold them accountable, right? But the question is, do I? Because look who he lives with, right? So right. So it puts you in a tough spot, if that makes sense.
Yes, it definitely do. That's definitely a tough spot.
Right, because think about it. When my brother gets older and he decides to do the wrong thing, who is it to blame? My parents or him? But here's the thing. We all say, when you get grown out here and you out here doing your decisions, that's up to you. You decided to make that choice. Now, here's the thing. When it comes to a teenager boy making a choice and a grown-ass man, do you feel like those are two different things?
Time out. I'll repeat that question again. You said, do I feel?
I said, do you feel like, okay, for example, you know how people be like saying, like, you know, grown men out here, you know, who choose, you know, who are legal, 18, are choose to make the wrong choice. They do that and that's their fault. But then for what about the teenage boys who are going in and out of juvie constantly? Do we hold them accountable? Do we say it's their fault? You know, that's what I'm asking the question.
They're a child is a child, right? So by law, nothing can be that child's fault unless they're blatantly in the streets committing crimes, right? And but by law, that parent, right, that parent is at fault by whatever decision that child makes, right? So, and what I mean by that is, like, if you know your child is a hazard to itself, let alone fucking others, right? And you're not seeking a professional help or doing what you got to do as a parent to make sure that child get back on the right track, right? If that child go and do something fucking catastrophic, you can be held accountable legally, right? So it's like, but at the same time,
accountability
is still fucking legal. Even though an 18-year-old is still legal, you're still under your parents' care until the age of 21, right? So an 18-year-old making a life-changing decision, I don't think that's too much of a difference from a 16-year-old, right? Making a life-changing decision if you're still under your parents' roof in their custody, right? Now, if you're emancipated and you're living on your own, right, then of course it's solely on you, right? You have to make the decisions, right? But I don't know. That's a tough question.
Right. And I think it is a tough question, right? Because here's the thing. My mom, she didn't want to open a bank account for me when I was 16 years old and I was working a job so I can save money, so I can learn how to manage my money. She said, no, that's weird. Now, it's very weird, right? Because it gets a little bit deeper. She never told me the reason why. So when my brother came to me and asked if I can open a bank account for him, you know, I was looking into it and I was telling him I really can't. I went to the bank and said I can't because I'm not his legal guardian. And so he says that he basically said mom doesn't want to be responsible for me if I do anything on the card or in general. So basically what he's saying is that she doesn't want to be responsible or reliable if something happened to the debit card, or just don't want to do the work. She's just being lazy, right? So it's a deeper meaning, right? because their fear of responsibility, because when you take responsibility, you have to hold yourself accountable. And responsibility is an accountability. That's what I'll say it as. Because if you're being responsible, you have to hold yourself accountable, because being responsible is holding yourself accountable, right? So like when you, so when you're like, oh yeah, like I decided to have a kid, right? That's holding myself accountable and responsible, right? At the same time. But it's holding myself more responsible if I'm taking, making sure he got everything he needs. But let's say, oop, I must have forgot something. I forgot to bring a sheet and blanket out of daycare. Okay, let me hold myself accountable. Let me bring it tomorrow. Let me make sure I put it in the bag. And let me make sure he got it. You get what I'm saying? So, you know, my apologies to the daycare teacher. My apologies. You get what I'm saying? I'm holding myself accountable, you know, as a parent. But, you know, I was making their job a little bit harder, and I understand that. So, you know, it was only right if I apologized and been, hey, I'm holding myself accountable here. I'll make sure I bring the sheet tomorrow. You know, so that's just an example, if that makes sense.
Right. Yeah, that definitely makes sense. My mind is still boggled about this white privilege thing. I'm trying to figure out. I'm trying to figure out, it is that a good thing or a bad thing? Well, of course it's a good thing, right? It's a good thing to have friends that's actually white, right? And can help you in ways that you wouldn't be able to help yourself, right? Life is that much easier when they can walk right through the same doors we have to struggle to even open, right? So it's like the doors automatically open for them. They don't even have to touch the door. That shit is on automatic, right? So it's like the doors just open for them in certain spaces, right? That we have to fight and struggle to enter, right? So it's like, even though it's a good thing, how... I don't know. I'm gonna shut the fuck up. I'm gonna let you talk.
I feel like it's a good thing for them, right? But then it gets really good for you, because we can't go into certain spaces, right? Because we have to fight all the time, right? And there's discrimination. Right. So it's just very weird, right? And like, just in general, like at workplaces, you know, part of their policy, we don't discriminate against gender, sexuality, and race. Why you gotta put race last? See, that's my thing. So and it's just like, why do, you know, black people got to be at the bottom of the food chain, like every time? And it's just crazy how like we're just put out at the bottom, like we're not actually people, and like women can't get rights, and black women don't deserve to have a hate crime bill, or black people in general. Like, they still have even banned the sundown towns. Like, how you're gonna have the anti-lynching bill pass, right? But you're not gonna ban the sundown towns who are lynching our people. Make it make sense.
Absolutely.
It's like basically having plantations still in 2022, right? And literally there are black people picking cotton. That's what it's like. So like, for them to be like that, it just does not make any logical sense. But in terms of like white privilege, like, man, I told you, like, I've been living my life for almost about 5 years now of freedom and, you know, no isolation. And she's been able to show me the world. Like, and also like my teacher, she taught me in ninth grade as a freshman, and you know, she saw what I was going through at home, and you know, she always had potential in me. I was her honors student. So I was her honors student in freshman ELA, and basically at sophomore year of high school, that's where I was having a problem at home with my parents, etc. And you know, she saw that, you know, I was late all the time at school. A lot of things was happening at home. And you know, one day I heard from my counselor at school, who I see, she was like, someone wants to take you in and be your foster parent. I was like, who? And she was like, oh, your teacher. And I was like, which teacher? And she was like, Miss Lewis. And I was like, word, I'm gonna get out of this group home with these crazy bitches. Word. Get me out of here. Any place is better than here. Hello? I'm just saying, like, I was in a bad place already where it was just like, bro, any place is better than here, you know? Yeah. So, like, she took me into her crib with her husband, and it was a good place. Like, I had my own room for the first time in 16 years. I shared a room with my sister for, like, a long time. And so, you know, I had my own space. You know, she was very nurturing. She helped me. That's when I found out I was pregnant. You know, I told her, you know, she was very supportive. She helped me get things for the baby, etc. She helped me take me to work. She made sure I saved money for my child. And that's when a few weeks down the line, she told me she was pregnant. And, you know, ever since then, we've been so inseparable. Our kids are 2 weeks apart. Her daughter was born October 15th, and my son was born on October 27th. So now she actually was one of the ones that helped me actually bought my first car, too, along with my foster mom currently. So, like, you know, she's very supportive. I can count on her for anything. And she also wrote me in her will. I didn't even ask.
Nice, nice, nice. That's a beautiful thing, man. And that's the good side. I was
That's
talking
the good side. Right? Right.
When it comes to this white privilege thing, a lot of people talk about, right? It's they don't see the benefits, or they ignore the benefits of that same white privilege when it comes to helping someone of color, right? When it comes to helping a fucking minority, especially a fucking young black sister, right? You have this white lady that actually fucking met you and got to know you, right? She was fucking teaching you, and she saw your fucking potential. And who's to say she didn't, maybe she sensed you was pregnant before you told her? Who's to say she didn't even know that? Who's to say that wasn't her woman intuition to say, this girl need to get out of this place. She needs some real fucking love and help, right? Who's to say she ain't know that before you told her? Like, that's what I was thinking about when you was telling me the story. And the reason why I can identify with pieces of your story is because I became a father at the age of 15. That's why I can relate to pieces of your story, but I digress. I'm gonna let you keep talking.
Yeah, of course. I got pregnant at 16, so I'm a young parent just like you was. So that's why, like, that makes a lot of sense. And here's the thing, young parents understand each other, right? But here's the thing, it's other young parents that understand each other. But when it comes to your baby, having a baby, you're not gonna understand. So, you know, it's just funny, right? My mom had me, right, at 7. She got pregnant with me at 17, had me at 18. And then, you know, it's just crazy. She didn't believe in aborting me. You know, she believed in pro-life, right? She believed in giving us life. And it's just crazy how she just told me, you know, just get an abortion, get an abortion, get an abortion. And here's the thing. She didn't look at me as like, damn, this is my daughter. You know, I gotta respect that she's getting older, and that I can't protect her from everything all the time. And she got to be able to make decisions in her life, especially if it gets hard. That's right. What it means to be a woman. That's what it means to be an adult, especially a woman. So, you know, she never stopped to ask me, like, hey, I know I'm happy you told me. I'm here to support you for no matter what you need. And if you want to keep it, that's okay. And if you want to get an abortion, I'll be fine with that. But whatever you choose, I'll be supportive with your decision. And, like, literally, those are the – but here's the thing. They have to understand. Kids. People my age, that's all we need to hear. We are people where our love language is words of affirmation, right? Because yeah. We've been so oppressed for so long by our parents, right? Because right. Here's the thing, we can't go out and do our own thing like we really want it to be, right? Because they're oppressing us, right? Because they are oppressed, because they have been oppressed by their parents. So here's the thing, we don't really get into the facts of, yes, generational trauma, but what also comes with generational trauma is the post-traumatic slave syndrome. That's also a book by Joy DeGruy, which you can also go read about how generations of children, so forth and on, grandparents, we are have these emotions and these trauma that we all can't explain. And that also comes from our ancestors, because we are all a reincarnation of our ancestors. And that is why America has to burn before we can actually build anything, because the ancestors are upset. You know, these white people, a lot of these white people disrespect them and built on their soil. Hello? And stole their land. Hello? Their resources. Hello? So this is what they're saying. They're coming back, man, and they're reincarnating within us.
Right. On our next live, that's a whole nother video. We could go in on that topic.
That is a good topic. The reincarnation of our ancestors, and that's why you see a lot of the Black community struggling, because they're coming back. And people have to understand that the ancestors are upset. Hello? Why would they not be upset? Why? Absolutely. Like, this is what I'm saying. Like, people have to realize that, yes, Jen exists, spirits exist, et cetera, et cetera. If you don't feel your loved ones around you sometimes, then I don't know what to say to you. You must just be weird. But other than that, I just feel like all positivity comes within when you just decide that, you know, that this is not your life. You get what I'm saying? All of those women who are pro-abortion, my body, my choice. Yes, my body, my choice, my life. And that's the part they're missing, my life. So you're missing, just because a choice is a choice doesn't mean when you're making that choice, it's not your life. So that's real deep. Like, people don't understand those aspects. Like, when Absolutely. You're talking about making a choice, you're talking about making your choice for a person or for a life, and that life is you, or the life inside of you. So when people are not realizing these things, they're being selfish, ignorant, and very self-centered. And if people hate me for it, go ahead and hate me for it. But if you don't like my opinion, that's okay. Because go actually check up on the facts and really get deep with yourselves. Because there's plenty of older women who can't talk as intellectual as me, and it's just sickening. I don't even have that much schooling on my back, okay? And I just have battle scars on my back. And this is what I'm saying. Like, you can't sleep on, you know, the younger Black women out here who have a passion for themselves, who want to change, who want to submit. Okay, listen, y'all women be thinking that submission is slavery. Submission is not slavery. Like, there's nothing wrong with being a housewife. And, you know, cooking and cleaning. But first, y'all bitches definitely got to learn how to cook and clean first. And I feel like what we need, here's a solution. Listen, I'm speaking of a problem, but let me give a solution, right? Because they'll love to come at me for not giving a solution, right? So the solution should be like, we should have classes teaching more women how to cook and clean, respectfully. And y'all women are going to be looking down. They have classes for that. This is stupid. I'm a woman. Just because you're a fucking woman doesn't mean you know how to cook and clean. Like, what? Like, well, why is it the fact that I'm seeing more men who are chefs than women? And these are facts. I go look at my damn grampy. My grandpa is a chef. And the rest of my family members and the men of my family members are a chef. My dad's side, my cousin, he's a chef. Like, this is what I'm saying. Like, you have the men actually in the kitchen doing y'all jobs. Like, this is sickening. Women should be ashamed. I'm not saying men shouldn't cook. Yes, men should cook. But for women not to cook is ridiculous. Yeah. Like, that's just an insultment to womanhood.
They're not saying she have to cook or cook all the time, but you should know how to cook.
Right, it's the principle. You don't know how to cook. Making noodles and macaroni and cheese and hot dogs is not doing it, sis. Please get a new life. No.
Girl, shut up. These women gonna fuck you up.
No, these are facts. Like, these mac and cheese and hot dogs is not doing it. Like, they got to be smoking some kind of crack to be thinking that shit's working. I'm sorry. Like you can't get mad at me because you can't fucking cook. Bitch, I was in the kitchen yesterday. Okay. It was looking good. It was smelling good, you know?
Nice.
People just can't hate the facts. that, you know, some of us actually love cooking. Like, I actually haven't heard moms say I love being a mom. And I feel like the old, especially the teen moms, and I'd be in the community doing a lot of work, and, you know, I'd be trying to make sure they got everything they need. We host mental health spaces for them, you know, making sure they're good, you know, anything they can get their hands on for free, we got them. But when it comes to them being selfish, like, here's the thing. So coming up, I just applied to be a teen mom mentor. So basically, I'll be getting that. And what I'll be doing is I'll be mentoring teen moms to, from such as the ages 12 to 18. Right. So that'll be good. And I love it because that's one of my passions. Right. And I'm excited for it. And plus, like, here's the thing. I'm not, look, I'm going to tell them like this. I'm not here to butt in your relationship, but I want you to realize what you could do better as a woman every day. And that should mean something to you. And as a mother.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
most important part.
Right. It should. But here's the thing. These women don't never want to hear correction from men. They don't want to hear the truth. Hello? The truth hurts. The truth is like their kryptonite. I'm telling you, accountability is women's kryptonite.
Right.
Because they don't want to be accountable. We don't, you know, we don't have to be honest. Like, oh, he got to stay with me, but he can't be fucking on other bitches, but I can go fucking other niggas. Like, that's the craziest shit I ever heard. Like, you know, like, you trying to say this man got to keep his dick in his pants, but you want to go fuck other niggas? Make it make sense. Like, no, I'm just being serious. That logic does not make sense. I don't even think there's logic there. Like, I just feel like if you're really saying that, then don't you think you need some mental health help? Just a little bit, you know?
Real shit.
Just a little bit, because it's just like, and also, like, I'm not gonna lie, I heard some men disrespect the fuck out of women for disrespecting them. And like, here's the thing. Like, the women really want their ass kissed and their feet rubbed, but they don't want to put in work. They think just because they're a woman, they don't have to do anything. And it's just like, bitch, didn't the nigga just told you what he wanted you to do and you still act like you ain't hear him? These bitches be acting deaf. I'm just keeping a stack. Like, why, for example, why do they always make these rooms on Clubhouse, right? Asking, what do black men want from black women? Y'all bitches are dumb. Y'all know what these niggas want from y'all. Y'all just want to be an echo chamber. You just want it to be an echo chamber. That's absolutely all it was given. Like, it's just so annoying. I get so tired of when I see those conversations in the hallways, because it's just like, you can't be serious. Like, how the fuck are you really asking black men for the 20th room on Clubhouse? What do you need from us as black women?
It's so sickening. I was in the hallways every day.
Every day, bro. I get so tired. It is just like, I get so tired of those divesters, especially, you know, the black women that want to divest to white men, and then the black men that want to divest to the white women. Here's the thing. I saw something on Snapchat, and, you know, she's a YouTuber or influencer or something, and, you know, she usually has her black nigga up there, you know, showing and trying on the outfits and rating to a 10, right? But now it's weird that I see her new video with two black men that's not her nigga. So why are y'all black men cooting for this type of behavior or this type of rhetoric? Why are you, like, worshiping this, like, if this is the black queen? Hello? Right. Like, you don't never worship no white woman like she's black. Hello? You're supposed to treat her like a bitch, like a slave. Because here's the thing. No. I'm keeping it a buck. I'm keeping it a stack.
Yo, you is crazy.
No, I'm not being crazy. Gang
in the building talking her shit.
No. I'm being honest. You're supposed to treat them like your bitch and your slave, right? Because that's how they want to look at Pornhub, right? And that's how they want to look like in real life, right? So treat them like that, bro. Because that's what they like. That's what they said they like. They like getting peed on, you know, the golden showers, you know, let them be. But what I'm going to say is stop treating these white bitches like they got the upper hand on you, because I be seeing these black brothers. I be like, how you have this white, how you let this white bitch have you on a pedestal and she's not a black woman? Make it make sense.
Right. Make it make sense.
Like, your parents should be disappointed in you because they let you marry someone white. I don't care what no one says to me. Like, I really just don't, because it's just like, you can't be serious here. Now, here's the thing. My son is Haitian, and you know, they are chocolate. And right. Then I see my son with a white woman, I'm going to ask him, please go read this verse in the Bible. And God clearly states who he hates and who he loves, but also what he says about mixing with other people. Go ahead and read that and see what happens to you. So, you know, he can go read that real quick. You know, I'll read that. I'll give him the context and the understanding, and then he'll understand. And then he'll have to go back to the drawing board again. You get what I'm saying? Because, Listen, I want my son to, even though he's part, you know, black, you know, black American, as they call it, you know, he has some Caribbean in him. I dare someone to say my son's not black. I dare someone. I just fucking dare someone, because as chocolate as he is, please he's do not.
He's definitely black.
Right.
He's definitely now, he's not an African American because he's not a descendant of Africa, right? Now he's part African American because you're African American, right? But he's also part Haitian American, right? And you can't ignore that fact, right?
Exactly. So, that he's part, you know, from Caribbean over there.
Yep. And that's real shit. And you can't ignore that fact. Now I'm gonna play devil's advocate right now, right? We got a few more minutes. I don't want our conversations to go over 1 hour, and we at 42 minutes right now, so I'm keeping my eye on the clock. I'm gonna play devil's advocate right now. So what if a white person asks you, why do you feel that way toward white people if you have a white person in your life that love you and you utilize the white privilege?
Okay, so the reason why I'm going to say that, because listen, I respect them for helping me out, being supportive. You can do that. Be an ally, right? But making love and making kids with you is not what being black is about. Also, what it means to build, you know, black generational wealth, right? So when I'm talking about black generational wealth, I always ask this to black women who date or marry white men. The same goes for black men who date and marry white women. How are you building the black community and building your generational wealth for your family with a white woman? Make it make sense. Does that make sense? It doesn't make sense, bro. Because here's the thing. How are you going to be with a white person when they don't even support you getting your reparations? Hello? Like bye. And then it's not like they're spreading the word about the good in the black community. Let's talk about that. You with a white person, but they're not talking about the good that you're doing for the black community. Hello?
Reach.
It doesn't make sense. Like, I just get tired of, you know, like all of this, you know, date the white man. But listen, why do y'all believe in pink dick? I just don't understand that. Like, I believe in the black dick only. You know, that shit got green veins and blue balls. Like, nah. Nah, but you know, it's green veins and blue balls down there, and it's small down there. So, like, you know, I'm not gonna go there. You get what I'm saying? But here's the thing. Why do they want to divest to white men who are a lot of white men commit violent crimes and acts against women? Hello? Why are you gonna be with no? How many stories, how many CSI episodes I can pull up for you to show a white man killing a woman every episode?
Right.
Wake that up. How many times we see this on Law and Order and Criminal Minds? It's usually a male, a white male, his 30s, and he's very misogynistic and he hates women. Hello?
Right.
So why are y'all divesting to these dangerous men? Because I feel like the white man's more dangerous than the black man. And that's what they're missing. They like to say the black man's more dangerous than the white man because black men are killing each other. But in reality, black men might be killing each other, but at least that you're not seeing every article and every TV show that they made that black men are killing women. So what are they talking about? Like, no. This is what I'm seeing. And like in my community, like the white men are very more misogynistic towards women than black men are.
Definitely. Damn, so, dudes.
No, they should take notes.
Bombs.
These are important notes on how you can get a man. No, for real. I'm not even lying. I would never lie. Yeah, these are very important because they have to understand if you really want these black men to love you, then you gotta respect yourself. And that's first. And then second, you gotta respect him. But when you respect yourself, you respect yourself more to be respectful towards him. And that's the point they missed.
Right.
So absolutely. Maybe they might learn something.
Yeah, they definitely might learn something. And this was a great conversation. You heard? This was a great conversation with Billboard J, people. And yo, Billboard J, stay right there. Let me close this one out. And we're going to be right back on the flip side. You heard? Peace. This was Political Hip Hop. Thank you for tuning in. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review.